BBC Radio Berkshire with John Briggs.
So, to the part of the programme where we look back on the biggest technology stories of the week, and who better to do that than Fevzi Turkalp from the free tech help website GadgetDetective.com, a reuniting of a man that I've known probably for, what, about 16 years now, Fevzi, is it?
Morning, John. Was it something I said?
What, you mean why I didn't talk to you for the last 10?
Well, there is that. Yeah.
It's a real pleasure, matey. So good to have you back on the show and so good to speak to you.
Cheers.
Let's talk about one of the big stories of the week, which people who are not necessarily gadget fans will have come across, and something of a blow for the manufacturers of the Tesla motor car. Why was that?
Yeah, so on the face of it, so the Tesla Model S, which has just become the most popular electric car, it's taken over from the Nissan Leaf in the world. Unfortunately, one of their vehicles was involved in a fatal collision where the Tesla failed, it seems. There is an investigation, but on the face of it, it seems it failed to recognize a white-sided high trailer. And the reason for that is it has two types of sensors, one which is where it looks for contrast, and it was white-sided against a bright sky, so it couldn't see it. And the trailer was apparently very high, and the sensors on the Tesla seemed to be rather too low, and it actually tried to drive it underneath the trailer, and it resulted in a fatal collision. So, I mean, it's an interesting one because, you know, the temptation is to say, you know, these robot cars are going to kill us all, but actually these Teslas have done about 130 million miles on this autopilot feature, and this is the first fatal collision, which is in the same sort of order of fatal accidents as if human beings were driving the car. I guess what worries me slightly about this is this this autopilot feature is listed from Tesla as being a beta feature. In other words, it's not quite finished, and users have to switch it on if they want it, and they're expected to keep their hand on the wheel. And it even checks that you've got your hand on the wheel, and yes, if you don't, it's slow.
It does warn you that you should be aware that you need to be able to drive the car if necessary, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think the problem with it is that as these autopilot features and automated driving features become more capable and take over more and more of the driving, it's very difficult to then say to a person, you know what, pay full attention and be ready to step in at any moment. It doesn't really work like that. People's minds wander. Even with cruise control, people's minds wander. So I think, no, if it's going to do as much as that, it has to be truly autonomous.
Is this a blow for Tesla? Because they did suffer some time back, didn't they, about a year or so ago, with fires within the cars. That was the first thing. They seem to have recovered from that quite readily. Yeah. Is this going to cause them a problem?
I think temporarily it will. I mean, there was a 3% hit on their share price, for example, which is not huge, but you know, not welcome. I think in the long run, you know, this technology is just too seductive, and as Elon Musk, the head of Tesla, said, you know, quite soon cars that can't drive themselves will be seen as an anachronism, and I think that's probably true. So yes, it's a step back, and certainly Tesla need to go back and look at, you know, exactly why this happened and what they can learn from it, and maybe the position of the sensors or their range or direction has to be changed. Maybe the software has to be improved. I mean, it is slightly disconcerting that they put out features that they deemed, you know, autopilot features that are in beta. You know, they should you know, have the courage of their convictions and either say it's finished or not put it in production vehicles.
Not the only manufacturer that is doing such ideas in terms of autopilot. The brand new Volvo has a system that is not quite the same because it's not a pure autopilot, but sure, it's getting there, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And recently BMW announced that they were going to be working with Intel. BMW was one of the manufacturers that was in talks that broke down with Apple, we're told, and now they've turned to Intel. So you've got these sort of quality and other car manufacturers now looking for technology partners, because effectively cars are the latest device to be turned into, you know, computers that happen to do something else.
Your gadget of the week, Fevzi, I suspect comes from an arena which there is a plethora now of opportunity for manufacturers to come up with new ideas. And I see so many of them out there in the market and so many of them being used. What have you chosen?
So this is an action cam. These are the sorts of cams that can be, you know, strapped to a cyclist's helmet or onto you know, a skier's board, you know, skier's skis or helmet again. Can be mounted in all sorts of places, quite frankly. The GoPro is probably the best known of them. So the GoPro Hero 4 costs around £280. This device from a company called Kit Vision, it's called the Kit Vision Escape 4KW. It's about half that price, so you can expect to pay about £140 for this. And it has, on the face of it, very similar specifications. There is the name 4KW sort of gives away the fact that it is ostensibly capable of 4K resolution, that's to say four times as many dots on in the picture as a normal HD television set. So imagine using four HD television sets, 2x2, that will give you that same resolution. Unfortunately, it's a bit misleading in the sense that the 4K is what's called upscaled, so it's not true 4K, and the frame rate is very low. It's about 15 frames a second, so it gives a quite, you know, relatively jerky movement. However, if you ignore the 4K function, this is why I've chosen to actually review this, it's actually a really good action cam, because at normal HD quality, what they call 1080p, which is, as I say, similar to what you get on a normal HD TV set, it gives you 60 frames a second. It gives you really good quality. It has it comes complete with a waterproof casing, which gives you the ability to take this little device up to 30 meters underwater, and it will shoot some very, very nice images. So as a normal HD action cam, it's actually really rather good. It also can do 12 megapixel still photos. It has built-in Wi-Fi, so it turns itself into a Wi-Fi hotspot, so then using your smartphone or your tablet, be it Android or Apple, you can actually use it as a viewfinder. You can control the device remotely. You can transfer files without having to connect cables to it. So it's got a number of good tricks up its sleeve. And I also liked the fact that it came with most of the mounts that most people would want as standard. So it's got the bicycle mount, so you can mount it directly onto the bicycle, various helmet mounts, various adhesive mounts, so you can stick it to a surfboard or a skateboard or something like that, tripod and camera adapters, as well as a waterproof case, which taken together for £140-odd, I think is really good value. And as I say, about half the price of the equivalently featured GoPro Hero 4.
Yeah, so puts I've the given cat it, amongst the pigeons, doesn't it?
Given it four stars, I just wish they didn't market it as a 4K device, because most people won't use it that way.
And it doesn't sound like it works particularly well in that mode anyway. To the final thought for the Saturday morning, Fevzi, and this is about a chat bot, but perhaps you might need to educate, well, you can educate me amongst many others, but educate people about what a chatbot is.
So a chatbot is a program, a computer program that's designed to interact either with human beings or indeed with other chatbots. So it's an artificial intelligence program that typically tends to have some an expert system built into it, so it will have the knowledge in a particular area. Now that could be just someone to help you book a holiday, for example. In this case, a British teenager has written a chatbot. He's programmed it to help people challenge their parking tickets, both in the UK and in New York. And his hit rate is, 250,000 people have used this free service. Of the 250,000 people who've used it, 160,000 parking tickets have been successfully challenged. So it asks a number of questions. It asks diagnostic questions in the way that a doctor would try to work out, you know, what the problem is by asking certain questions. It will ask you, for example, you know, were the signs clear? Is it possible that the bay was a little bit too small? You know, it asks you leading questions, and depending on the answers, it will actually formulate an appeal for you and produce it in a way that you can just send it off, and 160,000 people have benefited from it.
The people fight back.
I really do like this, because, you know, people have had technology used against them by local authorities for some time. So I quite like this idea, I have to say.
And chatbots are going to become more and more part of our lives, aren't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, we've and you'll know obviously about things like Siri and other voice-based assistants.
I know nothing about Siri.
You know nothing about Siri, no, quite so. You know, this is a development of that. So this is not just something that will talk to you, but a chatbot will do your bidding. So it becomes much more of an assistant because the chatbot can then, on your behalf, access services, be it, you know, booking a restaurant table or a holiday or whatever it is. But increasingly, our chatbots will be talking to their chatbots. So in the past, my people would talk to your people. Now my chatbot will talk to your chatbots.
Does it get to a point whereby actually you don't need to get up this early on a Saturday morning and I just talk to the Fevzi chatbot?
I have to tell you, you are in fact talking to the Fevzi chatbot. You've failed the Turin test. You probably realise I'm not quite as slick and smooth as I normally am, and this is the reason why I am in fact a chatbot.
You are a chatbot, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because lawyers were one of the professions that were listed as the 35% of professions that would be replaced in the next 20 years by artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. and this is the beginning of that.
Yeah, but they're going to replace radio presenters probably next week, the way yes. things are going.
Well, they're on the list as well, as our studio engineers, I'm sorry to say.
Oh dear, yes. It's all going horribly wrong, isn't it? Get me that desert island somewhere out there, I'll head for it now. Fevzi, it's always a pleasure. Should we do it again next week?
We will, I hope so.
Look forward to it. Fevzi Turkalp, our gadget detective. And of course, if you want to know any of the details of what goes on in the gadget world, of course, you need to head off to gadgetdetective.com.